and at every meeting. Service is giving of ourselves to help CEA Howe continue to function. Let's all get involved to help CEA Howe, because we all know that service is freedom from bondage of self. Pass.
Thank you, Carlisa. And Carlisa is also our timekeeper for this workshop. This workshop is covering four service topics. One, the See How 12 concepts of service. Two will be the descriptions of service positions and their importance. Three, benefits of service to your program and the fellowship. And finally, the question, why not service? All literature read or referenced today is conference approved. Following each topic, we will take 3 to 5 questions. Please keep your question to 1 minute, and Carlisa will let you know once you reached your time limit. Please acknowledge you had heard her. If there is time at the end of the workshop, members will be offered a chance to share or ask additional questions. Phone numbers will not be exchanged during the recording time. Our first speakers are Cheryl W. and Michael, who will share for 10 minutes each on the concepts of service. Carlisa will give a 2-minute warning to each speaker. Cheryl, please take it away.
Hello, everybody. I am Cheryl W., compulsive eater, and very grateful to be able to be of service. I'm going to talk about the first 6 concepts of service. And the concepts are found on the CEA Howe website in the bylaws, which is, and they would be found on pages 27 and 28. If you go onto the website, and what I did was I typed bylaws in the search, and it brought me to a link that said bylaws. I clicked on that. It brought me to another link that said bylaws, and I clicked on that, and then I scrolled down the document to page 27. And Article 16 has the 12 concepts of service, and it was very easy to print them out. So, number one, the ultimate responsibility and authority for CEA Howe General Services resides in the collective conscience of our fellowship. And this is a broad brush, if you will. I thought about the inverted triangle where, you know, the groups in our fellowship, in our society, has the ultimate authority. And that authority is brought down through group conscious to the inner group, to the area, to World Service Board Conference, and then finally to the World Service Board of Directors. And the groups is the ultimate group conscious of how we operate, and the trusted servants are who, whether they're paid or not paid, provide the service to keep the society going. 2, the CEA Howe groups have delegated to World Service Business Conference the active maintenance of our services. Thus, the World Service Business Conference is the voice, the authority, and effective conscience of CEA Howe as a whole. It's been amazing for me. I'm fairly new to CEA Howe, so in my mind, I visualize the world, the globe, and we touch people all over the earth. The literature, the pamphlets, the phone bridge, all the different ways that the fellowship is informed is done, and it's a beautiful thing to see it happen. Especially in this particular time of the pandemic, we've been able to touch people, you know, much more at a group level all around the globe through the technology that is available. 3, the right of decision is based on trust and makes effective leadership possible. Each of us has the right of decision, whether we're at just getting abstinent, just joining CEA Howe, or if we are doing service in the meeting, if we're doing service on the area, phone bridge, face-to-face. There's always a consensus that's done, there's data that's shared, and information that we pass through. to each other. And by having the right of decision, those people that are in the leadership roles, they're given the authority to make things happen, implement whatever the task is. Four, throughout the service structure, we ought to maintain that all responsible levels are traditional right of participation, taking care that each classification or group of our world servants shall be allowed a voting representation in reasonable proportion to the responsibility that each must discharge. And that's really important. We all have to participate at our level, and especially if we are in a leadership role or on a board on a global level or the group level or the area level, it's very important that we participate in being of service. And of course, when you drill it down to the individual, you know, our abstinence is our first service to ourselves, and everything just flows out from there. Five, individuals have the right of appeal and petition in order to ensure that their opinions and personal grievances will be carefully considered. I love this. I love this because this gives me the authority and the right to speak, to have an opinion, and also, I don't have to have the same opinion as everybody else. I don't have to do a task the same as everyone else. I don't have to disseminate the information the same as everyone else. I have been given the right to do it in the way that I am comfortable. I also like that this concept always makes sure that the minority opinion will be heard. You know, I don't always have the same opinion. We don't always agree with each other, but everybody's opinion, everybody's suggestion should be heard. And this allows us the space to have the courage to speak. I feel safe to speak, whether I'm in a meeting participating or on a committee participating or talking to my sponsor participating. So it's real important, this right of appeal, that I can stand up and say what I have to say. Number six, the World Service Business Conference has entrusted the Board of Directors with the primary responsibility for the administration of CEA Howe. Of course, we have to have people that are willing to do jobs to keep the society moving along. There has to be infrastructure, there has to be process, there has to be a place to go, like the website, with information so that as someone who's interested in CEA Howe can get information easily. Those of us that are new to CEA Howe, it's a platform for us to learn about the society, learn how to be of service, learn what are the dues, and learn how I can participate and be responsible. So the World Service Business Conference has entrusted the Board of Directors to kind of oversee that primary responsibility. Bottom line, though, it comes down to, like I said, that inverted triangle that I talked about in the beginning. The group has the ultimate conscience as our higher power dictates. And then we go to the intergroup, the area, the World Service Business Conference, and then the World Service Board. I am Cheryl W. Thank you for letting me share and be of service, and I pass.
Okay, Michael? If you'd like to continue on the topic.
Sure. Michael, compulsive eater, and thank you for asking me to be part of this. So our seventh concept is the Board of Directors has legal rights and responsibilities according to the CEHOW bylaws. The right and responsibilities of the World Service Business Conference are accorded to it by tradition. So, you know, all of this is the concepts really dictate how a spiritual body, the CEHOW group, interacts internally and then with the outside world. So it's important to understand that as was talked about with the upside down triangle, every service board is in support of the member and group. So WBC, which is the World Business Conference, which is made up of delegates from the area, which is made up of members of the intergroups, which is made up of members of the meeting, has the final say. So the board of directors works in the spiritual and the real world. So for instance, you know, if we want to be able to have literature, we need to actually have the function of, you know, creating the literature, editing the literature, and then of course it'd be great to be able to print the literature. And when we print literature, we actually need to pay these businesses who do this service for us, because we can't just say to them, we're a spiritual program, so we'll just give you spiritual thoughts. But the WBC, the World Business Conference, is the spiritual guide. Now, number eight is the board of directors may delegate to its executive committee the responsibility of overseeing the World Service Office. So the way it works is the board of directors has given a group, a subcommittee of the executive committee, which is the president, vice president, treasurer, secretary, as well as the chair, vice chair, and one other member of the board. And its job is to manage the business of the World Service Office, and also the executive director is on that committee. And things like, you know, we have insurance, for instance, negotiating insurance, negotiating our leases, making sure that we're aligned with labor practices. Things that, again, we have to deal with because we do live in the real world. And I like to always say the executive committee works on the business of CHOW. And ultimately, though, again, it can't do anything that the board of directors does not allow it to do. So board of directors will say, we approve the executive director to be paid X. Then it's the executive committee will then make sure, and the president will make sure that that happens. But if the executive committee wanted to pay $1 more, we have to go back to the board of directors and get that approval. So nine is able trusted servants, together with sound and appropriate methods of choosing them, are indispensable for effective functioning of all service levels. And this one, I want to spend a little bit of time here because rotation of service, and it's really, really important, because we're only as strong as the members that give service. And, you know, I think it's important that the system work. And what I mean by that is, you know, we should have multiple people running for secretary and all the service positions in meetings, and have multiple people wanting to be intergroup representatives, and every meeting have a representative at the intergroup level. You know, if we really believe in this spiritual idea of the upside down triangle, yet we don't put forth a representative, it's the concept of, you know, faith without works is hollow, right? You can't continue to talk about how the group is support, we're all supporting the group, yet the groups and the members don't set forth their time to be part of these service levels. And so that I would really implore everyone listening, and most people listening probably do service on some level, because that's why you're interested in this workshop. I'm hoping that from this workshop, we can go out to our meetings and share about how service, and I can speak for myself, one of the big differences in my program from, you know, the last almost, you know, be six and a half years, over six and a half years, and when I was in program 8 years earlier for 2.5 years of abstinence, is the level and depth of service. And it really changed the way I look at the program and the way I engage with the program. So number 10, every service responsibility should be matched by an equal service authority. The scope of such authority always to be defined well, whether by tradition, by resolution, by specific job description, or by appropriate bylaws. So the idea, again, is the group and the members gives the board of directors the authority to execute what we need to get done. So, you know, a great example of this is you can't ask our executive director to execute ordering literature and then say, but you can't order literature unless you talk to every single member of CHOW around the world and get them to say yes. It would be impractical. At the same time, the board of directors and thus the members can pull back this authority by resolution or by tradition. And ultimately, everything is run through the WBC, the World Business Conference, so that the members have a voice. And it's also important that the minority members have a voice. And functionally, what that means is when we have something come before the business conference, we have discussion, we have a vote, and then we say, does the minority have anything, does anyone from the minority have something to say? They then have time to express their point again. Then we say to the entire business conference, has this, anyone who voted in the majority, has this changed your vote? And if it has, we reopen the question. So whenever you see what comes out of the business conference, this isn't like a meeting, in many meetings where it's like, so we want to send $50 to World Service. Who says yes? Some people say yes, some say no, and we move on. That's not how it's done at that level. So we're always making sure at that level. 2 minutes?
Correct.
Is that correct? Thank you.
Correct.
We're always making sure that we are pushing back on the idea that any one group of people or person can run roughshod over the organization. And that, by the way, is for any level. I think it's great practice for meeting, intergroup, area, to get in the practice of having the minority have a voice. Because a lot of times, you know, we see it in the big book when Bill leaves Towns Hospital and thinks that the subway car's lights going on and off with the sign, and in the end it was the voice of the meeting, the members of the meeting. So 11, directors, administration of World Service should be assisted by the best standing committees, executives, staffs, and consultants. So here, so the business conference meets once a year, but the real work of the business conference are the committees. And our committees are working committees. And we also have non-members on our board helping us with running the business of CHOW. And 12, the spiritual foundation for CHOW service ensures that A, no CHOW committee or service board shall ever become the seat of perilous wealth or power, that sufficient operating funds plus an ample prudent reserve shall be CHOW's prudent financial principle. No CHOW member shall ever be placed in a position of unqualified authority. Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, World Service Organization bylaws. All important decisions shall be reached by discussion, vote, and wherever possible, consensus. No service action shall ever be personally punitive or incite public controversy, and no CHOW service commitment or service board shall ever perform any acts of government.
Aye.
And shall always remain democratic and thought and action. So thank you.
Thank you, Michael. The floor is now open for questions. We'll take 10 minutes of questions, and at the end we'll have time for additional questions. Due to time limitations, please keep all questions to 1 minute, and panelists will provide 2-minute responses, and Carlisa will let everyone know when their time has expired. Who has a question for Michael or Cheryl? You'll have to *6 to unmute if you have a question or a short comment.
I do have a comment, but I may wait on it. This is Paul from New York, but I do also want to remind whoever's leading the meeting that the chimes are on, and that means when somebody's exiting or entering, you hear the chimes. It's a little bit distracting.
Okay, I turned the chimes off, but apparently that's not working, so I will attempt again to do that. Thank you.
Oh, this is Cheryl, compulsive eater.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Michael, I have a question. When we sometimes get someone that seems to be an authoritative person, someone that feels that he's in charge or she's in charge or in control, and as much as we try to make them understand that there is an executive board, it's the intergroup or the area, how do we do that? How do we get about getting that message across in other ways?
So it's not in other ways. First of all, I'm the chair of the board of directors, and I could be asked to step down at any point. And if I were asked by the board or by members to step down, I would step down immediately. So that's the ultimate. Authority. And you know, you can reduce the if it's a meeting, for instance, the meeting can reduce the authority of the secretary, or go back to, you know, our literature that it dictates what the general outline or issue is that you're speaking of. But ultimately it falls on the members. So if the members don't speak up and don't put themselves in a position where they use their voice, you can fall into a situation where, you know, nothing happens. So I think the first thing is to have the meeting have a conversation with the, you know, the individual, and then if that doesn't work, have a vote to remove that individual. And again, this is where the weakest link is our strongest person, right? And it's, you know, if you don't have anyone who will step up and take over that position, we tend to just look the other way. And I don't think that's what, the founders of this group or of AA had in mind with the concepts of service. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate that, Michael.
Hi, this is Susan from New York, compulsive eater. I have a comment.
Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you. Thanks to Cheryl and to Michael. I am a member of the Education Committee for the World Service Business Conference, and we are in the process of adding to the service manual some more information on the concepts, and I'm really glad that it was covered today. Due to one circumstance or another, a motion was passed last July that the 12 concepts would be made available on the website, other than in the bylaws, and they will be placed on the website as soon as possible. And they also will be added to the service manual as an insert, along with questions on the concepts. They sound, I want to be brief, but the concepts sound remote and untouchable, but they really can be very practical. And I learned that just by being on the Education Committee last year and this year, that there are ways that these concepts are very important, maybe possibly as important as the traditions and the steps. Thank you.
Eileen, this is perfect. Were you able to hear my cue, Eileen?
I was, and I wanted to give time to allow, to allow Susan to just wrap up what she was doing. But everyone, participants, please just acknowledge Carlisa that you have heard her, and then wrap up. Thank you. Any other questions for Michael or Cheryl today?
Yes, this is Susie Compulsive Eater.
Hi, Susie.
I have a question. Thank you. Do we have a phone bridge calendar so that workshops and meetings will not conflict at the same time?
I have no idea. I'm not part of the phone bridge, so someone else can answer that. That'd be great.
The short answer, this is Susan. I'll be a presenter in a moment. The short answer is no, and that is something to look at.
Thank you.
Any other questions or short comments for our presenters? Okay, we will have more time at the end so people can think of additional questions they would like to ask. But if there are no additional questions or comments, we will move on to the next topic. And Ken is on the line. Ken from Virginia is on the line to share for 15 minutes on Sea House service positions and their importance. And Cheryl will give you a two-minute warning. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you, Eileen, and very happy to be on this line today. I know the importance of service. It really was recognized early on that in order to get recovery and stay in recovery, we had to give it away. That was the original concept with Bill and Bob, and of course over the years it's evolved to where they realized that they had to have an infrastructure to coordinate, to organize the different levels of service, and therefore, you know, it's mushroomed now into the many layers that we have, and they're quite extensive, and as Michael and Cheryl went over, you know, the 12 concepts of service and the committees and what have you, there's many, many of them. So there will be some overlap in my presentation, and I would encourage everybody, I mean, to go to the website for great detail, and it's under the CEAL website under service bodies. And the drop-down box will take you to, you know, the different levels of service and what they do and what they consist of. And my intention is to give you more of a broad overview, and because I'm also going to touch on the importance of service during my 10 minutes. And I'll also say this, when we get to the question and answer time, particularly on the administrative or business level, I know there's people on this line that have more experience than I do at that level, so I'll welcome them when the questions start coming to jump in and answer some of those if you from direct experience, either from currently serving or previously serving, have a good answer for it. Well, anyway, first of all, I want to say that we have an enormous need for service. We have a lot of meetings, whether they are in person or phone bridge. There's quite a bit of turnover, and there are many open slots from time to time. I don't even know how many in-person meetings there are anymore, but we have quite a few phone bridge meetings. So anyway, it all gets back to the three legacies, which is recovery, unity, and service. And Dr. Bob's famous RX prescription that he gave was trust God, clean house, and do service or give to others. So that's how really, really vital it is. And it's really to ensure our recovery. That's the whole basis of it. So we have two basic levels of service, and one would be on the meeting level. And the CEA HAL groups, and again, I would refer you to the inverted triangle on the website. It's a good way to get an idea of the different levels of service. Meetings, of course, the ones that we're familiar with, they coordinate personal recovery. And, of course, the administrative part basically handles the group business. It's kind of somewhat similar to the steps pertaining to the individual and the traditions pertaining to the groups. And many of us are familiar with, I believe Carlisa read the service tool to start off the meeting. But, I mean, we have obviously leaders or co-leaders. And in that case, some people make long-term commitments. They lead the same meeting every week or months on end or even longer. And then other meetings go by a weekly rotation where you have co-leaders. And, one person a week will take that slot. And sometimes we have problems there. Leaders don't show up, or there's just an open slot. So there's always a tremendous need for just that one position only. And then there's a program coordinator. That person will basically coordinate all the different service levels needed at a meeting. For instance, I know the face-to-face meetings, which I don't have the privilege of having any in my area right now, they'll have a treasurer, a coffee person, a literature person, people who, and these aren't even designated positions, but you can, you know, put away chairs. They have greeters. Of course, at our meeting, we always need readers. They don't have, there's no absence requirement for that. We have intergroup reps, and sometimes the meetings do not have an intergroup rep. So we're always in need of more of those, and those intergroup reps basically serve as a liaison to the business side. They keep us informed on what's going on that side, and they read the report on a weekly basis, as you know. The minutes are available, too, if you really want to see the minutes of all these different meetings. They're available on the website in detail. Some meetings have speaker seekers. Others do not because they don't have during that particular time slot speakers. We have timers who are so vital, as we know. We've got one on the line today, and we have one at every meeting just to keep everybody from, well, giving everybody a chance to share. We have a very important position, as most of you know, which is the host of the fellowship portion, and that follows the regular meeting, and that's so vital because everybody has an opportunity to share, newcomers, returnees, people have need who just want an extended fellowship. And then, of course, that's in person. And now, of course, we have Phone Bridge and positions there, a person who keeps our phone list, the food plan, the meeting coordinator. There are a lot of positions. We read them at every meeting, the sponsorship coordinator. Then there are people who do marathons on the foam bridge. And in person, I don't know if they're still doing those because of the COVID. But we have workshops like the one today. So these all take people to do this. We have our holiday marathons, you know, New Year's Eve, New Year's, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and that takes a lot of coordination and a lot of service positions and many ways to do it. So I'm going to segue. Now, that's on the meeting level, basically the meeting level. I'm going to segue over to the administrative or business part. And again, I'm going to refer back to that in inverted triangle, and Michael and Cheryl gave you that in really good detail. So there's going to be some overlap here, but I'm going to go ahead because these are levels of service as well. Of course, there is the CEA HOW groups, and that's all the groups. It's coordinate meetings for those seeking recovery from compulsive eating and facilitates literature for sale. And then from there, the next drop down is intergroups. And hopefully we all have intergroups. And to have an intergroup, you have to have two or more groups within a state or geographic region. Then we have areas. And within CE HOW, we have 10 areas. And the first five basically constitute everything in the United States. And it is Western United States dominated. much of which is in California and the Southwest states. And that goes way back to the origins of OA. It's just critical mass, you know, started there, and it's still there. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a lot of insubstantial area groups in other parts of the country. We certainly do. Areas 5 through 10, well, actually 5 through 9, are areas with outside of the United States. And number 6, the 6th area, is actually entirely devoted to Mexico, and area 9 to Canada. And then 7 and 8 is a catch-all for every other part of the globe that is represented in CL. And 10, of course, I'm a little partial to the phone bridge. That area 10 actually is for phone bridge only. That's us. So, you know, and then we drop down the next level is the World Service Business Conference, which I believe was mentioned. That meets annually. And it's composed of delegates elected from the area representatives at each area assembly. And then from there, we have the World Service Business Conference Committees. And there are many of those, and they're too numerous to mention. But they are composed of delegates to the World Service Business Conference. And just to give you a flavor of those, there's a literature committee, there's a public information committee, there's a sponsorship committee, there's a website committee, there's an education committee. So committees right and left, and I believe a finance committee. I believe that body or board can elect to form another different type of committee as needed. But I'm just basically giving you the basic ones that, again, are listed on the website, and you can go in there, and they will tell you about it. And then for the board duties and responsibilities, you can see the bylaws. And, you know, that, of course, has been mentioned in the 12 concepts of service. It's all in there. And if you want to go into all that detail, you can find it. Then we have a World Service Office, and that location for conducting day-to-day business affairs under the direction of the World Service Board and corporate officers. It's kind of a clearinghouse for information, exchange point of information, and they coordinate a wide variety of activities. So that's an extremely important position. And then, as was mentioned, within the World Service Board, there is a board of directors, and the various levels on that board, and there are many. There's a chair, a vice chair. They have there are non-participating directors, and right now I don't know if we have any. I guess we do have somebody in that position. I know they've been looking to fill some slot there. And then there are board committee chairs or conference committee liaisons, and there's board policy manuals, special needs, website, convention, and they meet 4 times a year, and the annual meeting of the board of directors is held immediately following the closing of the annual World Business Conference. Quarterly meetings are held by teleconference on the 4th Saturday of October, January, and April at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I'm going to quickly move, and I should have devoted more time to this, but the importance of service. I think we all know that service is freedom from bondage of self, that personal, in order to recover, and this was recognized early on, it was important to do. Thanks, Marlisa. We knew it was important to do service. And it's no less true today than it was in the beginning. So it's a we, not a me program. It's a selfish but unselfish program. And no one service is more important than the other. They're all needed. We have no caste system or pecking order, although it may seem that way. You know, the World Service Chair is no more important than the person who has no abstinence at a meeting and is a reader, or just who happens to be there. and you do not require any special gifts to do service, just a willingness to do so. There are, people have personal gifts and they like to do certain kinds of service, whether it's on the meeting level or the business level, but that should not prohibit anybody from getting out of their comfort zone and filling a slot, because we have an enormous need for service at so many different levels. And I know in the, and it serves for humility. I know in my case, it's really important. It gives me a sense of self-worth. It energizes me to do service, and it really is, I think, the engine that drives the program, of course, and let us not forget, abstinence is perhaps the best form of service, not only to ourselves, but to the group. So I think even in the big book, where it talks about a play, a theatrical production, where they need everybody from a director all the way down to an usher and somebody who pulls the curtain. And it's the same with service. And I know sometimes people, they're not qualified, you know, they're not good at it or whatever. That has nothing to do with it. It's just about a willingness to serve. And it's vital to our recovery to, as it says in the tool, let's all get involved in service. So I'm going to end it there. I know that was a lot of information and kind of a 30,000-foot view of all of this, but it's, again, I would encourage everyone, if they want a lot of detail, go to the website. It's spelled out very, very thoroughly there. So I'm going to stop there, Eileen, and open it up to questions. And as I said earlier, if there's a question from those who are much more experienced than I am on the business side, please feel free to jump in and field those questions. So I'm done.
Thank you, Ken. Who has a question or a comment for Ken or any of our panelists?
This is Suzanne. I just have a clarification. Area 10 has four intergroups, not just the phone bridge. So it's phone bridge, we hear now, and there's a Spanish phone bridge, and then we have the electronic intergroup in Spanish and the electronic intergroup in English, and those consist of digital virtual meetings such as Zoom or Skype. So that's Area 10, any electronic or phone meetings, not just this phone bridge intergroup. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan. Anyone else with a question or comment?
Yes, hi. Paul from New York, just a quick, I think 5 was listed as something outside of the United States. Areas 3, 4, and 5 have connected as 1, and Area 5 is the lower eastern portion of the United States and are now included in that very nice group that's been working hard to create their own, you know, staple group of people putting up some wonderful meetings towards service. I also just wanted to make a pitch for those that may host that fellowship portion. It is a gift that we have fellowship that follows our meetings, and it is a very short time between meetings, and sometimes we have meetings 5 in a row in the mornings. So to have that very short time to come up, to say hello, to meet and greet, to get to know one another is such a gift than somebody actually trying to create an after meeting or a meeting in between meetings. So just a pitch for hosting that fellowship portion and keeping it fellowship so that all are invited and all can participate. Thanks again.
Thanks, Paul. Anyone else with a comment or a question? Okay, this is Eileen, compulsive eater, and I'm just going to ask a question. The service positions on the phone bridge, can someone speak to their the abstinent requirements for those and the rotation of service so everyone knows, is aware of that?
Eileen, this is Cheryl W. Do you mean the abstinence requirements?
Yes, abstinent, so everyone knows, my question is, so everyone on the line is aware, because some people may not be, the abstinence requirement for meeting leaders, business chairs, business secretaries, timekeepers, speaker speakers, you know, intergroup reps, meeting contacts. I have that in front of me, but I didn't know if anyone else had more detail on that to share.
Okay, I have the duties and qualifications for service positions, if that's what you mean, the business chair, 30 days current CEA, how abstinence, and have gone through the three-step ceremony. This, I believe, is also on the website. And two, the spiritual timekeeper for regular and business meetings. There's no abstinence requirement. Three, the secretary, no abstinence requirement. The leader or co-leader, 30 days current CEA, how abstinence, and have gone through the three-step ceremony. And then the intergroup rep, 90 days continuous CEA, how abstinence, and have completed the step-up ceremony. They shall maintain an active relationship with a CEA House sponsor, declare themselves as actively participating or actively practicing the 12 steps, CEA House concepts, 7 tools, and 12 traditions. And separately, the phone bridge secretary emails weekly intergroup announcements directly to the intergroup rep. The speaker, there's no abstinence requirement, and the meeting contact is a 30-day current CEA How abstinence requirement. And again, these can be found on the website for the specific duties.
Thank you, Cheryl. And times, terms of service, I believe those are on the website as well. But my understanding that each group is autonomous, so I think as Michael said, so can someone just clarify that for everyone listening?
What was the question exactly?
Rotation of service. So some positions have longer terms than others. So what comes out of the policy manual, is that a strict term, or each group, my understanding is each group is autonomous and can set those terms of service themselves?
They can. So I can answer that practically,
okay.
And or just what normally has been the case. And again, I'm speaking primarily from face-to-face meetings, is that every position except intergroup rep is a 6-month commitment. Now, a group could have a year commitment for everything, could have a 5-year commitment, but probably is not recommended. And the reason for the general reason for intergroup reps to there for 12 months instead of 6 is just it takes some time to learn intergroup, and so it makes it just more efficient. But theoretically, a group could have a shorter time requirement. If that answers the question.
Okay. Thank you so much, Michael. Okay. We are now open for questions to the panelists who have spoken already. Do we have any additional questions or a comment someone would like to share?
I have a question and comment. This is Ken. I'm a panelist.
Yes.
But kind of following up on that last question with rotation of service, we have a problem with having enough people to fill roles. And so although it is the ideal to rotate, sometimes because nobody steps up at that particular moment, what is recommended? That they just leave it open until somebody steps up? There's also cases where a certain individual may lead a meeting for years and doesn't really rotate it. And so I don't know what the position is on that. Again, I know ideally if we could rotate, if we had a tremendous pool of people, you know, like a waiting list, which we don't. But I guess I would address this to the business people on the line. I mean, is there any black and white policy there? Are we just sort of then for our need to have people fill those positions longer than maybe is ideal.
Who can answer that or comment on that for Ken?
Eileen, this is Sheila B. I can answer. I mean, I'd like to say something on that.
Okay, Sheila.
Because I've been in this position a lot. And what happens to me is you put it out there, you ask people, you know, to give service. It's not a hard thing to do. You follow a format. So as long as you can know how to read, there's no problem because you follow the format. It's given to you. And the thing of it is to me is, like I say, I am on a couple of meetings, and it's like pulling teeth to get people to do service. And I guess for me, and I'll be down the end of the line here, so I will be saying some things like that about it. But I'm just saying is that it's very hard because, I mean, I don't mind. I mean, hey, I like if someone steps up. I know this meeting was having an issue. Someone, their job changed. They couldn't do the meeting again. So I picked it up because I didn't want to see the meeting go away. That's how I think of it. I didn't want to see it because every meeting is important, every single meeting. So
I don't believe that answered the question exactly. And so from a function, this is Michael, by the way. From a functional standpoint, there is no policy from the World Service. And so assuming what the question was, if I understand it, is you have the rotation of service, so you're looking for a secretary and no one steps up, so the secretary stays on for another 6, 12, 18, 24 months. First of all, functionally, it's a good idea to have elections. If you feel like that's going to be an issue for your meeting, have elections 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks prior to term, and then every week thereafter mention that, you know, the literature position is open for the next rotation of service, and if you haven't given service and you come to this in the last two terms and you come to this meeting regularly, it's probably a good time for you to step up. So that's a functional way of doing that. And then, you know, this is not from a board, this is as a member. I believe that there is a time where a meeting has run its course and, you know, the group conscience, you know, has done its job and said that the meeting is no longer viable. And that's okay, too. But I think that in face-to-face meetings, when I'm secretary, I always recommend that we start elections 3-4 weeks before the term's over, and inevitably we find people to fill the positions. So hope that answers it, too.
This is Suzanne. I would like to add, sometimes our late-night meetings, people do not stay on for elections. As soon as the meeting's over, they're off. And this came up at the meeting that I'm the intergroup rep. The person stepped down. He'd been doing it for 6 months, and I guess the other person stepped down as well, and no one was going to lead the meeting. I've led that meeting off and on for a long time, so I thought, I'm not the person to do it. Someone stepped up. So during the intergroup announcements, I said we knew two leaders, and I just sat there until two people volunteered, and they did volunteer. I just said, well, you know, there's service opportunity and has to be filled. If not, there'll be no meeting. And they did step up, but the issue is they don't stay for the business meeting. But sometimes you have to kind of think outside the box, and for this meeting it worked. So and there's enough people on the line that can do it. They just, for whatever reason, they'll let someone else do it. But that's what happened last night. We did get people to step up, and hopefully they'll start coming to the business meetings. That's the problem. They don't come, and then you're just sitting there by yourself, and there's no one to vote for because no one's there.
And I would suggest, and that's a great point, I would suggest I always have elections during secretary's announcements because it's before everyone can share, and everyone loves to talk. So no one leaves before they get to share. And so you have a full meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Oh, go ahead, Linda. This will be our last question before our next presenters. Go ahead, Linda.
Thank you. This is Linda M., compulsive eater, and I actually just wanted to comment that, you know, this is a simple program, and it's a challenge. You know, we're a young fellowship and program, and, you know, I think it's how we look at it. We can look at it as this is a problem. We can also say this is an opportunity. You know, somebody said thinking outside of the box, you know, kind of hammering, this is not working. And it's important to not get into resentment. You know, if I'm feeling like, you know, I'm doing too much, then I need to look at my reasons for why I'm being in service. Is it because nobody else will do it? Or is it because I want to be of service, because it's exciting for me, and which is why I do service? And it is because I've been in that resentment place in other parts of my life. You know, it's really important for me to work on that and to talk with my sponsor about it and to talk with other fellowships. PhoneBridge is unique. And, you know, to talk with other people, and especially right now, the electronic intergroup English is new, and with this shelter in place, it has, you know, we've gotten so many Zoom meetings. This CHOW had Zoom meetings for a year at least, maybe two, before the shelter in place, and suddenly everybody was doing it. So there's a lot of opportunity for newness and freshness, and I think this is, again, you know, I'm overusing the word opportunity. However, I think it is a chance for new people to step up and to have an opportunity, and it doesn't have to be the same old, same old, same old. You know, if a meeting's run its course, it has. If we need to change things up, the Saturday, Sunday 10 a.m. meeting is kind of changing things around. And, yeah, so this is, we get to do something new and different. To me, this program is vitally important, and anything is open. You know, that's what our traditions tell us. As long as we're not doing anything that is sacrificing our ability to reach out to the next person who suffers. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Linda. And we are going to stop there for questions right now so we can move on to our next presenters, which our next presenter is Susan from Oakland, who will share on the many benefits of service. Okay, Susan, take it away.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Susan. I'm a compulsive eater. And my orienting kind of theme is the meaning and benefit of service, both personally and for the fellowship as a whole. And, you know, I actually want to sidestep what I intended to say by just noting, as has been noted already, that what this workshop represents is a whole lot of amazing service, and I am just thrilled to hear what the presenters have offered us, as well as the thoughtful questions and comments that have come up as a result. And, you know, service is freedom from bondage itself. It also is absolutely essential for keeping CHOW healthy and growing. So it does start with abstinence and doing the rest of the tools, and then with the foundation, these foundations of recovery, then we have the opportunity to find out who we really are without using food and other behaviors to numb ourselves when we have fear or other feelings. I came to recognize very quickly that service was the glue that would actually keep me abstinent, and then it also provide scaffolding to keep the health of the fellowship healthy and growing. Doing service, especially when I'm new, whether it's new to the program as a whole or new to a meeting, it allows me to be seen as a fellow and to claim my seat. when we read the tools at every single meeting, the word service is said 10 times. And I think of this use of that word, service, as an incantation to say that service is essential, and it's essential both for me and for CHOW as a whole. When I first started in the program, I stepped up to read at meetings. I had a pen and paper in hand, and I was fully on phone bridge. When you're at a face-to-face meeting, there are meeting phone lists that are available. But I had a pen and paper in hand. I had a system of notation of the meeting I went to, what the theme and topic of the meeting was, and then all the phone numbers that were given out, and then a mark for when I called, a mark for when we spoke, a mark for when somebody called me, and whether or not we got to speak. And the whole idea of phone numbers, it's not just something we have to do every day because it said so. I recognize that what outreach calls do is help me create this web of connection, this web of support, this web of me being available to other people and learning how to have conversations, not just see it as, okay, I've done that call, that's, one of my outreach calls. I had somebody say to me very early in my recovery, so she got so annoyed when somebody started the conversation, this is an outreach call. She said, I want to talk to you. You know, I don't want it to be just something you're checking off your list. And that was a really helpful thought for me that helped me to develop the idea of the outreach call as service, as something that that gives both to me and to the other person and helps me learn how to have a conversation and make a connection to a person. Once I got my 30 days, I began to sponsor and give back what had so generously been given to me, which included time, wisdom, and real caring. I love the sponsors that I have had and what they have given to me. And again, like the outreach calls, the sponsoring relationship, I think even more intensely, helped me to develop many skills I just didn't have access to with regard to relationships, including honesty, vulnerability, and the being present for another person. And I went from this very rigid, rule-oriented, telling a person what they should do or indicating, I think, this is what you should do. And it took me many years to let go of that way of being a sponsor to one that is much more just aware of being a witness, a reflection back when I notice patterns, and another fellow on this recovery journey. And I'm grateful for that capacity to learn and to grow and to be compassionate with both myself as I, made all kinds of mistakes as a sponsor and certainly compassionate with others. I shared at meetings, I attended the business meetings, I volunteered to lead meetings, I offered to be a speaker when asked, or I said yes when asked. I stepped up to be an intergroup rep, and there's the messiness of the democratic process in business meetings and intergroup meetings, but, there is work to be done to hold us together and make us healthy. Eventually, I was on the executive committee of the PhoneBridge Intergroup, and each commitment was a commitment to my recovery and, again, CHOW as a whole. It does bring out, doing service does bring out my character challenges, but it offers me a chance to grow. And then very reluctantly. I agreed to be a delegate at the World Service Business Conference. But I'll tell you, once I was at the conference, I recognized how much work had been done to create a smooth-running business conference, and then was able to also recognize more fully all the work that was done, that is done at the World Service Office to keep CHOW growing and available to everyone who's a member and those who either have left and, you know, are, will eventually maybe want to come back, or those who haven't even heard about us yet. And so I was a delegate for 2 years and then threw my hat in the ring to be on the board. And today I'm the vice chair, and I just, you know, again, just further appreciation of what it takes to keep CHOW functioning and improving so that all, it will be available to all. And I, as has been said multiple times already, I do want to emphasize the inverted triangle of service to say that delegates and board members aren't, in quotes, they who make the rules. They're part of the we of the fellowship. They're members who are just are stepping up to do service for CHOW to continue to function. And when I do service, I bring a spirit of joy because I am connecting with my fellows. I have an opportunity to see myself grow. And know that I am participating in keeping this organization that is so important to my recovery and my life, healthy and growing. And service has shifted my orientation from an ego-based one to that of humility. I've learned to ask for help, to make mistakes and not go into a shame spiral, which is something that I have done much in my past. And learned about balance in my service, to know what is the right amount and not overcommit. Overcommitting can lead to reactions that threaten my abstinence and my recovery. Lastly, I do want to make a pitch for donating to the Seventh Tradition as a service action. It can be easier to forget to participate in the Seventh Tradition on phone bridge or Zoom meetings. I just want to note that CHOW operates on a shoestring budget, and each individual's generous and balanced, you know, within one's capacity, donation will allow us not only to continue to function, but to offer deeper and wider access to the program, to recovery, and to do service. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. And now Susan will take questions or comments. Is there anyone who has a question or a comment for Susan? Okay,
oh,
there are no... Oh, go right ahead.
Just a short comment to Susan. I agree. I love people calling me. I love outreach calls, but also smile and laugh when they tell me this is an outreach call, and then they say whatever they're going to say. And so I don't think it's necessary, but it's not something I have resentment for or anything. I just think it's funny. And so when I want to call somebody, I want to hear what they're doing. I want to, you know, take the 2-3 minutes, either there's something going on in my mind or whatever, you know, getting some experience, strength, and hope. I always like to have someone share what their goal is for that day. And assume that they know that this is an outreach call. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you. Anyone else with a comment or a question for Susan or anyone else who's presented so far? We will have time at the end for additional comments or questions. So if no one has anything at this time, we will move on to Suzanne E. and Sheila B. are now going to ask us the question, why not service? Thank you, Sheila and Suzanne.
Okay, let's take it away. Take it away, Bonnie Lee.
Serenity, Will you be my sponsor? I don't have a sponsor, and I really need one.
Let's just have a few little discussions here first. First of all, how long have you been in program?
25 years.
25 years. That's good. That's good. And are you doing all of the 7 tools?
Sort of, I think.
Sort of. That doesn't sound too positive, sort of. What does sort of mean?
I do the food plan.
All right. That's number one.
I used to call my sponsor, but I don't have one currently.
Okay, that's right in with number one.
Uh-huh.
Number one, CEL food plan. Okay, that's good.
Okay. I go to meetings.
Okay.
Literature and writing? Yeah, most of the time.
Most of the time. That doesn't sound too positive either. Keep going.
Anonymity. I don't talk to anybody, so we're good on that one.
Okay.
Outreach calls. I don't have time.
Uh-oh. That's a no-no.
I don't sponsor anybody because no one would want me anyway. And then, service. I've never done service.
Never done service? 25 years in this wonderful program? And you know that service is part of the 7 tools.
Well, I look at it this way. I show up, and that's my service. I show up. I let someone else do it because I'm not the person to do it. I'm not capable. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not the person. Other people will do it. They don't need me.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you this big, big question. Are you willing to go into any lengths to keep your abstinence one day at a time?
I've kept it for 25 years, but I guess I'm at the point where
Were you really working your program?
I was white-knuckling it for 25 years.
Okay, but you know what? Today is a new day. And today we're going to do, if you want to do this program and you want to be successful, you need to do all of the 7 tools.
I want to be like you, Serenity, when I grow up, and someone told me it was time for me to grow up. And I thought I had to call somebody that I think does all the, that does the deal, and you're the deal. I surrender.
Okay.
Tell me what to do.
Well, then, like I say, I will send you a blueprint that you will follow. And like I say, we don't pick and choose. I did that when I first came in the program. I picked and chose what tool I was going to do for that day. And now I know that I have to do all 7 of the tools if I want to be successful, if I want to keep my abstinence. So if you are willing to do that, I would be very, very happy to sponsor you and get to know you more. And I want you to take care of yourself.
I can start off with simple things because I am so afraid. I'm not perfect. And everyone else that does service, they lead the meeting, they're perfect, and I can't be perfect. But if you'll walk with me and talk me through it, I think I can do it. I want to turn over a new leaf. I want to do the all 7 tools the way it's written and not make it my way. Because my way... But I'm willing. I have that gift of desperation. Thank you.
And we don't want perfection. We just want progress one day at a time. That's all you have to do this program is just one day at a time. That's it. And you will see how you're going to bloom and you're going to grow and you're going to really love yourself. And that's the most important thing you could do to follow the 7 tools, is to put yourself into the 7 tools and do whatever you have to do to keep your abstinence, because you're worth it. And that's
wow. I think it was time for me to take the cotton out of my ears and start listening and start doing. I wanted it and I needed it, but if I don't do it, what's the point? I have to do it now. I'm going to take action. I'm going to do it. I'm doing it. I did it by calling you first. That's the first action I've taken. I feel like a new person. I know I can do it. Thank you, Serenity.
And together, we're going to do it. Together, we're going to follow that road of happy destination, one day at a time.
I don't have
you
to
help
do
me.
It alone. Thank you. Yeah.
Bonnie Lee, you help me as much as I hope I help you. And we're on the road together. You're not alone.
Wow. It's a new life. Thank you.
Well, I am thrilled. And like I say, we will be talking soon. I will send you some information, text you some information, and we will do it together. You're not alone. And I know that you probably have a wonderful story to share with other people that are compulsive overeaters one day at a time. So bless
you,
and I will look forward to hearing from you after you get the information.
I will call you again tomorrow, right on the dot.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, Sheila and Susan will share their own stories in this area. Go ahead, Suzanne.
Okay, I'm Suzanne. I'm a grateful compulsive eater, and we've done role-playing before at different workshops, and sometimes it's a point of, you know, not take it so seriously, but kind of laugh at it, and just a great example. I think I've been here 17 years and 9 months, and I think it really does start the first day you get sponsored and you get a sponsor. When I came into the program, my sponsor, well, the first thing she said to me was, get a service commitment, not you have to or I want you to. Get a service commitment, and then she told me why. She said, it will help you get out of yourself. It's one of the tools. It keeps the meeting going, and you'll get to the meeting. So at the very, very large meeting I went to, no service commitments were open. But at the two smaller meetings, I had service commitments. I didn't think they were important ones, but I did them well, and I did them to the best of my ability. And then that thing of let someone else do it, someone else will step up. Well, one of my favorite meetings, people had moved and things had happened, and it was dwindling. And I dragged my feet, and I dragged my feet, and I dragged my feet. And one of my sponsors, he said, you and I can keep the meeting going, but the decision had already been made to close the meeting. And they already turned in everything, and it was too late because I thought, let someone else do it. I did not think that I was capable of doing it, but then, you know, I wasn't going to do it by myself either. And as it was said earlier, sometimes meetings close, and that's okay, but it was a good lesson for me to not have that as an excuse. Obviously, I cannot take on every service commitment. I, you know, tried that for a nanosecond. Doesn't work. But I have learned that if I want my program to really function and the program to keep functioning, I do need to step up. And like I said, this starts with sponsorship. I think the sponsor sets the tone. So I've had many commitments, many service commitments. And I did not think I could lead a meeting because I can't read. And someone that nudged me into service said, just memorize it, and told me, here are the basics. As long as you do this, 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 and this, start the meeting on time. Finish it on time. Make sure the readings that are required get read. Make sure you're abstinent. Well, that was ding, ding, ding. And make sure the people that are sharing abstinent. Other than that, and you know what? It didn't take me very long to memorize the format, maybe the third time. I was too afraid because I wasn't perfect. And, well, perfectionism is self-torture. So, you don't have to be perfect, and it's okay to be afraid. If I am not willing to be a little uncomfortable, I'm not going to grow. If I am going to live my life, you know, hiding under the bed, I'm never going to mature. I'm never going to get it. So it's okay to be a little fearful. It's okay to be a little shaky. Yeah, don't have to be perfect. God only knows. I'm not, and I've made plenty of mistakes. But I also learned to laugh at myself And then I also know I don't have to do it alone. There have been plenty of people who have mentored me. And as it was said earlier, there are a lot of needs. When people hear need, it might be a turnoff. They are opportunities. Not there are service opportunities, but it's an opportunity for me to grow. It's an opportunity for me to challenge myself. Oh, let me do this. Maybe I can do this. I'll learn how. I'll figure it out. I'll figure out a new way. I'll think outside the box to get X, Y, and Z done. And maybe for someone else it'd be, you know, a cinch, but for me it's going to take a little extra work, but that's okay. These are the things I've learned, and I've been able to do several things. I mean, I stepped up to be convention chair when we have a physical convention, but I don't have to do it by myself. The whole program is not on my back. I can be a little tiny part of it, but if I don't suit up and show up, and if everybody had that mentality of let someone else do it, then we are not that structured and disciplined approach. So don't be afraid. You know, try. When I get a new sponsor, I'll say, hey, can you get to a meeting and can you at least read? Can you be a timekeeper? But read. Let people hear your voice. That is a great service. There have been many meetings on that I've been on, and no one reads. Now people hear my voice. They know, oh, she can't read, so they actually come prepared. Okay, we have to read because she's not going to. And in a way, that's been helpful. So it is a beautiful thing. Service has been so helpful to me, not just because of the program, because it's helped me in my life. And I want to give back. So, and like I said, it doesn't have to be perfect. There are different levels of service. Start off, you know, dipping your toe by reading, being a timekeeper, and that all so important, intergroup rep. If I can do it, if I can read the announcements, anyone can do it. In fact, one of my friends said anyone can do it better. So that's a challenge. Hey, if that blind person can do it, I can do it better. And I bet you can. And it's not that hard. And it doesn't have to be perfect, as I said many times here, because I think I get these calls. I can't do it because I'm not perfect. I'm like, oh, been there, done that one. All you have to do is have heart and a little bit of willingness. Get out of your comfort zone, and you will enjoy it. I think it's very enjoyable. Maybe not every single day, but for the most part, it's enjoyable, and it keeps the program running. Because I want the program to be here tomorrow, next year, 5 years, because it was here for me. Thank you, everybody, for letting me share.
Thank you, Suzanne. And now we're going to hear from Sheila B. On the topic of service.
Hi, this is Sheila B. I'm a compulsive overeater and a carbohydrate addict. I'm very fortunate to have this two-fold disease. Actually, I have a three-fold disease, really. And so we're talking about why not give service? Why not do service? And actually, like I say again, to say that in the seven tools, the light bulb went off for me this morning, and to do the seven tools is part of service number six, that we give back. We give back graciously what we have been given in this program one day at a time. And part of it is doing service. I mean, in there they're talking about, I know a little more about live meetings, you know, like you say, of doing the service of, you know, the live meeting that Kalisa read. And so actually, if we don't do service, we're really not doing the six tool, if we think about it. So anyways, what I did is I wanted to look up definitions for service. So this is what I came up with. Service, these are words for definitions. Help, assistance, aid, kindness, unity. And when I looked at that, I said, wow, that is exactly, you know, what I do. I do service. I do a lot of service. But I do it because it helps me. It helps my program. And it helps me to stay abstinent no matter what is going on in my life. So, things I have here is, what are the positive experiences that I receive from giving service? I strengthen my program. I feel part of the fellowship. I carry the message that there is a solution for compulsive overeaters. People get to know me by my voice on the phone bridge because I have an accent. So people get to know me as I get to know others by their voices. I listen for the messages when people do share. And I give back to others what we have, I learned, they said, what we have graciously been given. And I'm happy. I am happy to do this service. I'm happy to do it. It isn't a drudgery to me. It's a happiness that I'm sharing my program with others. I'm listening to others. I'm learning from others. I'm growing from others. And it's a really good feeling. Sometimes I just turn around and I say to myself, good for you, Sheila, you're taking care of yourself, because I finally get it that I'm worth it. So I give back. I give back. I give back because I care. I care. And the thing of it is, when people share, this is not, like I said, this is not a contest. We're not here sitting there listening and saying, oh, I don't know, what word did she say right? Oh, did she do that right? Or what is she doing? We're not there to judge anybody. We're there to listen. And I always say when I share sometimes, I say, I speak for myself. I don't say everybody should do exactly what I'm doing. I mean, I do what I need to do for my program and to keep my abstinence one day at a time. So I listen. And, you know, we're not here to judge. We want people to be themselves. We want, and as, you know, one of the people have said, and I love this, if you don't share it, you wear it. And I really believe that. Because to me, all I did all my life was stuff the food, stuff the feelings, stuff the feelings. I didn't want to feel the feelings. But thank you, God, today. I have a little over a year back again. And I don't do that. I don't do that because I follow the seven tools. And service is a pleasure for me to do. It's not, like I say, I love to give service. And if I help one person, this is my feeling, if I help one person by giving service, then I feel I've done something good. And I am just so grateful that I have a program, especially today. I have a program, I work my program, and I finally get the message that I will not let people, places, or things take away my abstinence on my program because I'm worth it. And that's the bottom line for me. So I am just thrilled, like I say, to be here, to be part of this today. I'm learning a lot. It's really wonderful. And like I say, just for today, I'm abstinent and I'm grateful because I give back what I have graciously been given by my higher power, God, by my sponsor, and the fellowship. It's a threefold togetherness. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila. Who has questions, comments, or any shares related to the topics presented? We have lots of time, so we're taking 3-minute questions, comments, or shares, and Carlisa will be timing, so please acknowledge her.
This is Cheryl. May I start?
Go right ahead, Cheryl. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Fear of doing service. When I first came into program, I was petrified. I didn't think I was articulate enough. I didn't think that people would know what I'm saying. I didn't think that I would know what I was saying, and I was afraid to share. After a while, my sponsor told me that I must do it or she'll need to drop me. So next time we went to a meeting in Manhattan, and I keep saying this, I got up and I said, my sponsor made me do this, and I sat down. I was still afraid to share, but it broke the ice, and I started sharing. And then I took on a position of treasurer. All I had to do was say 2 sentences at that live meeting, and I was afraid. I wrote it down, typed it out, and read it every week. But I wanted to do service. I had no idea that I would get so involved. A little while later, in 2003, myself, two members in the program opened two meetings consecutively in Brooklyn. And we sat there and we watched the clock and nobody was coming. It was 8 o'clock and no one showed up. And it was easy to just throw the towel in and say, okay, we're not going to do this. What are we thinking? But we didn't. We hung in there week after week until people started coming, and they turned out to be two wonderful big meetings. And then afterwards, a year later in 2004, Lucille and myself, two of us thought there was a need for a meeting on the phone. Online meeting. We did have online meetings on computer years back, but that one didn't work out too well. Couldn't type fast enough, whatever. But anyway, here we're ready to do a phone bridge meeting. Now, the phone bridge meeting was a great idea, except people weren't really getting on the phone. A lot of flack from different parts of the country where they thought that we would be impinging on their live meetings. They were upset. It turned out that really wasn't the case. Most people that came onto the phone bridge were people that didn't have live meetings and it was saving their life. And so we continued to wait and wait until it got better. Then we got people coming on, but they didn't have 7 days, couldn't share, or they didn't have 30 days, couldn't lead a meeting. So the two of us were leading. We started off with 15 meetings, different times of the day, and it was
1 minute remaining.
Thank you so much, Carlisa. So that first year were rough, but again, I felt that I was doing service. I needed it for myself. I needed phone bridge meetings. I had live meetings, but I needed more. So I'm just grateful that my higher power helped me keep my head and not give up. So for me to make outreach calls, to get to do any kind of service is exactly that, get to do it. I'm really grateful. Thanks for letting me share. I'm Cheryl in New York.
Thank you, Cheryl. Who else has a question, a comment, or a share related to the topics presented?
I'm Lynn. I have a comment.
Okay, Lynn, go right ahead.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks, everybody. I'm a compulsive overeater, back-to-back abstinence, 1 week shy of 11 years, 120-pound weight released by the grace of God. I wanted to comment on Sheila B's share. For me, she epitomizes what attracts me to this program. Over the last year, I've watched and listened to Sheila quite intently, and she never criticizes. To me, she walks like she talks. She leads by her example. I want what she has. And even, I seldom disagree with her. But even when I disagree, as far as if she's made a suggestion.
Okay, excuse me. We're just not doing crosstalk during the workshop. Thank you.
Share
generally, not to the specific
to
person.
To me, service for the newcomer to make them feel comfortable and safe is to be positive, to share your experience, strength, and hope, to not give advice, and to be an attraction, not a promotion. For me, what I tried to do in these 11 years is be as kind and loving as I can, because I want to be somewhere I feel safe, and I feel welcome, and any little bit of service that I can do, like leading an after fellowship and talk to newcomers because they teach me more than I teach them, that's what I believe in, because I didn't get this program overnight, and I will wrap up with this. My mother brought me when I was 19, and it took me 40 years to get more than 5.5 months abstinence. But all those years, people did service. People gave unconditionally. And I am so grateful for the people on this line and in this program and that went before us that have given unconditional service and carried the message. And thank you for correcting me. I didn't realize I was cross-talking, and I don't like cross-talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Who else has something to share or a question or comment?
Hello, this is Barbara. I have a comment.
Go right ahead, Barbara.
Thank you so much. The comment regarding service for me, out of the seven tools, I think I put most of my energy and time in tool number one, staying abstinent, and everything that goes into it, and the tool number seven, sponsorship. What I've learned is if I don't give it away, I will lose it. It will be somehow taken from me. And I've learned that in the guidelines on page 2 of CEA How, it says, point out to your newcomer that you're only an instrument of a higher power. This gets me out of myself. As long as I'm saying, I'm too nervous, I'm too scared, I'm too worried of what they're going to say or think about me, I'm more into myself. So what I've learned is that being an instrument of a higher power, I'm sharing my experience. And in doing so, we'll see how others can benefit from it. Then I don't have to worry about anything. It's my own experience, and no one can take that away. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Barbara. Who else has experience, strength, and hope to share on this topic or ask a question or make a comment?
Yes, it's Cheryl W. I wanted to share my experience for anybody out there that is new to being of service. I'm fairly new to CEA How. I've only been involved with program for about 3 years, and my sponsor is who encourages me still to be of service. And when I am being of service, I'm outside of myself. It's just period. I'm outside of myself. And this experience I wanted to share with you guys, that this experience today was my first time participating in a workshop in this manner. And the other people have talked about how they were scared. I was so nervous. What am I going to say? What are they going to think? I didn't know what to expect. And I spent a lot of time, you know, thinking about what I would say, looking up this, looking up that, but still very afraid that I wouldn't do it right. And when I started talking and reading the concepts at the beginning, I don't know, I just relaxed. And it was not hard as I thought it was going to be. And that's my story in abstinence and in my life. If I try and put one foot in front of the other, and then when I look back, you know, guess what? It wasn't as bad as I thought, even the scary stuff. So if anybody is out there listening to me, go for it. Go for it. It is a good feeling to participate. I feel very much a part of the society, the fellowship right now. And I would encourage anybody to just get involved and participate and be of service. It will work wonders. And it adds such a nice layer to my abstinence. I really appreciate that. And thank you for inviting me to be a part of this, and thank you for letting me be of service. Pat.
Thank you, Cheryl. And Susan, would you like to share something?
Yes, thank you. I'd like to make a comment. And when I shared earlier, I did not hear the timekeeper. I apologize, but I will be aware of the time, and my ears are open. I just want to say that if I would wait for me not to have any fear or apprehension before I did service positions, I'd be waiting a long, long time. And for me, it's one of the challenges of my recovery because I'm still fearful. So the thing for me is to face the fear and to do it anyway. And I've done that through just unmuting, pressing star 6, just to read or say hello. I've done that to become an intergroup rep, a delegate, an area chair, and everything in between, just a regular CEHOW person. But the fear is there for me, and it's faith. It's faith that gets me through, and other people, talking about it, and other people. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Susan. Do any of our panelists have a response to Susan's comment about fear? And how do we encourage people to step up to do service who may have things holding them back?
Hi, it's Susan. I would love to say something on that. I'm really just so appreciating all the participation here. I had paralyzing public speaking anxiety when through my life, and certainly when I started the program. And I had made a determination based on my sponsor's strong encouragement that I would volunteer to read. And, you know, I mean, my voice, my throat would close up, my mouth would go dry, the whole thing. I mean, how was I going to get through it? I did it. And I had those experiences of that anxiety, physical anxiety, and I kept on doing it. And there was some small, higher power voice, I believe, that was saying to me, this program, if you stick with it, this is going to help you with this anxiety. And sure enough, by repetition and just this commitment that I was going to do the service that was available for me to do, and that was, you know, a part of being a part of the group, it became more comfortable. I came to recognize that everybody was there to support me. People were not there to judge me. And if somebody had their stuff still going on and they were judging me, that's them. This is about me recovering. And so little by slowly, and the first times that I said yes to telling my story at a meeting, same sort of, you know, public speaking, physical anxiety that would come up for me. And I just, you know, my higher power is with me. I'm going to let my higher power's words come out of my mouth and see what happens, and, you know, and learn and grow and keep on
one
doing
minute
it.
Remaining.
Thank you, Carlisa. And, you know, it was a little by slowly, progress, not perfection. Just do it, and know that this doing service in whatever form is going to serve you if you come to it, as I came to it, with this spirit of learning and growing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan. Anyone else have a question, comment, or a share on what the topics were today?
Hi, this is Linda M. I'd like to comment again.
Okay, Linda.
Hi, thank you. Linda M., compulsive eater. The fear aspect, well, one thing is that on phone bridge, we don't actually have to see anybody. Nobody actually has to see me. To me, that's kind of a bonus, you know, versus being at a physical meeting. But what I want to say is don't deny yourself the opportunity to be successful. You know, sometimes I'll get outreach calls and, you know, people who have slipped or something, are you talking to me? Are you on an outreach call? That's a success. Let's count that as a win. And so reading at a meeting, anything that's like outside of the comfort zone, once you're done, gosh, that's a success. That's something to celebrate. I ask my sponsor asks me to write down three things that I accomplished during the day. And that used to be one of them. You know, I led a meeting. I spoke at a meeting. I shared. That's a success. That's an accomplishment. And so when things like that come up, okay, the daily reading from a couple days ago was about how the program is like having training wheels. And for me, that's exactly how I see that. You know, this is time for me to, you know, try to ride a bike, have a little bit of freedom, and that there are people around to hold me up. You know, there's the training wheels, I've got some guidelines, and I want to see people succeed because I know how good it feels to have the freedom. Thank you, Carlisa. The freedom from the bondage of self, from the compulsive eating, from the obsession of food. and I want to reach my hand out and help. And again, please don't deny yourself the opportunity to succeed. It's available. And I encourage you to take it. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else with a question, comment, or a share? We do have time remaining for anyone who would like to hear their voice heard today.
I'd like to do a quick about fear, Suzanne. Yes. So what is fear? What does it mean? False evidence appearing real. And then face everything and recover. I am not here to win a popularity contest. Not everyone's going to like me, so I used to be afraid of being judged. But you know what? If I don't do a great job and someone's not that impressed with it, then, hey, it's an opportunity for someone to step up and do a better job than I can do, which is great. But I have to remember why I'm here and why I do service. I'm here to save myself and to carry the message to someone else who still suffers. And if I do that, then my job is done when it comes to service. I have the willingness, I have the heart to do it, the love. And if not everybody likes the way I do it, that's okay, because I'm not going to impress everybody. And not my business. So I have to remember, what is our primary purpose? Abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message to those who still suffer. Thanks.
Thank you, Suzanne. We have time for one more question, share, or
Lynn,
comment.
May I comment?
Go right ahead, Lynn.
Thank you very much for leading this. I'm Lynn, compulsive overeater, and I crossed over from the fear into the faith zone when I was asked to speak on Friday night at the convention. I think it was 4 years ago, and the subject of the convention was freedom from bondage of self. I was terrified of public speaking. But I was also taught over the years, show up no matter what. I showed up and I told the truth about my fear of public speaking. And then whatever I said, I said. And afterwards, the first three people to comfort and say, you are okay, were newcomers. And I so encourage you, if you're new, stay here. Stay here. It will give you a new life. It will save your life. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Anyone else with a quick comment or question before we close?
Hi, this is Nancy from Ohio. May I share?
Oh, please, Nancy. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. It's a wonderful workshop. And I'm one of the new ones that I'm chairing a meeting, and it was very, very scary. But I'll tell you, one of the gifts at first and still is a gift is my sponsor sometimes is on there. And when there's complete silence and I you know, may pose a question to the group and maybe no one is unmuting to speak and I'm wondering, you know, am I heard? She's kind of there to back me up in a gentle way. So that's just a beautiful way to get started taking these baby steps on these beautiful meetings. So thank you all for your wisdom, and I will pass.
Thank you, Nancy. We are coming to the close right now, and so I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. A special thank you to our panelists, Cheryl W., Michael D., Ken H., Susan from Oakland, Suzanne E. and Sheila B. and our timekeeper, Carlisa. Please remember our cherished seventh tradition, and please give generously. Once recording ends, the panelists will share their phone numbers for outreach. Sheila B. will stay on the line following the workshop for additional questions and a time of fellowship. Will all those who wish to unmute by pressing *6 and join me in the closing with the Serenity Prayer.
God,
God,
let me
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I can change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will, not mine, be done.
One person was left off. Thank you for yeoman service, Eileen. Yeoman service. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carlisa, for timing.